Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Book of Exodus, chapter 2. Now, New Life sometimes has an unusual beginning. Do you remember when you were born? Say no. Lest we misunderstand from the start here. You do not remember the moment that you were born, right? You have heard the story, of course. But there is someone who remembers that moment when you came into the world. And that, of course, was your mom. It is a moment that a mother never, never forgets. And so if you're one of those people that had, excuse me, an unusual beginning in your life, you understand that it was planned by God. God is a sovereign God, and He has purpose in all things. And so however it was for you when you began life on this earth, you understand that God has a way of revealing Himself when people don't even know that He is around. So God knew your story. God was there. He heard your first sounds. He knows all of the details of your life. And at that moment when you came into this world, God thought you were beautiful and precious. So each life has a beginning and an end. But it is what happens in between the beginning and the end that's really important. And if you think about it, who on earth ever had a more interesting childhood than Moses? Would you stand as I read from Exodus chapter 2, Exodus 2, verse 9, and this is what the Bible says. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Almighty God, I thank you for life. I thank you for children. Lord, as we look at your plan, you did not make us adults. Adam and Eve were the only ones that had that experience, Lord. And the rest of us went through a learning process as children. And I pray, Lord, as we remember that we understand that we are your child today and that you are our mentor. You are teaching us the things that we need to know. So I pray that on this Mom's Day that we would be attentive to your word and understand what you have provided for each person who comes into this sanctuary. I pray, Heavenly Father, that this will be a life-changing moment for all of us as we enter into your presence and as we listen to your word. It is in the name of Jesus I do pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, no doubt, if you've read the book of Exodus or studied Moses' life, you understand that he did not know his birth story until he was about 40 years of age. I doubt that anybody else in here has had that experience. You probably heard your birth story as you grew up. And I want us to imagine the conditions under which Pharaoh was born. Pharaoh was killing little boys. Just think of that. What was going through the minds of all of the Hebrew moms as this edict came down from Pharaoh to take the lives of these precious children. Is there anything that's more cruel than taking the life of a child? You see, abortion is taking away the life that was given to us by Almighty God. I did not hear my birth story until I was 20 years of age. And all of those years, I wondered why my parents never celebrated a wedding anniversary. All of my friends' parents celebrated these days, and I thought it was a significant event, but never happened to my parents. And I wondered, what was the secret story that was going on that I had never heard? Well, some of you know that I was born when my mom was 15 and my dad was 16, and they were not married. And I was a great surprise to my grandparents. My parents were not allowed to marry until about 4 months before I was to be born. My mother got on a train and went from Oklahoma to California to live with an aunt while I was being birthed. And then they came back to Oklahoma where I was raised. I'd often wondered why nobody ever talked about that. But all of my life, especially my adult life, I have been thankful that I was not another abortion statistic. It could have happened. So Moses was born under a death sentence. Pharaoh had cast a edict that all these baby boys were to be killed. And so because of this death sentence, special provision had to be made. And so God had a plan. And it involved Miriam, who is or was the sister of Moses. Miriam was chosen to watch over her little brother. And some of you at YIBC have that responsibility right now. And my guess is that you're not always pleased when your mom or dad asks you to do that. But I encourage you to remember that it is God's plan for you right now. And you're having great impact upon this family. So Moses' mom, and you know the story, built an ark. And this was in the form of a basket. And it was God's plan from heaven. And all of my life I've heard this story. And every time I hear it, I am appreciative of Moses' mom and the faith that she exhibited. So I want you just to think for just a moment as she took her baby boy and as she placed him in that basket. And as she pushed him into the bull reeds that were there, how much faith did it take to do that? Can you imagine what it was like? Would you have been worried? Would you have been concerned? Could you have let go of that basket? I have imagined that Moses' mom pulled this baby boy to her breast, and she hugged him and she kissed him. And how much trust in God was required as she placed him in that ark and she pushed him away from the bank. You see, Miriam, the sister, was a faithful child. And I tell those of you today who are looking over little brothers and sisters, you can be very, very pleasing to God as you help care for the little ones in your family. So by faith, Mom, you must give your child back to God. Your child does not belong to you. And I wonder how many have done that, where you have offered your child back to God. understand that children are on loan to us. They are given for a short time for us to train them up in the way that they should go. So as Moses was floating in that ark, I don't think in a million years it ever crossed Moses' mom's mind that Pharaoh's daughter would find Moses and love him and care for him and educate him and raise him as if she or he was her very own. One of the reasons why I think God never sleeps or slumbers is He's always watching out for children, taking care for them by day and by night. So there are people in our congregation who have a legacy that lives on today from the lives of their moms. And so I've asked Dexter and Jenny and Nora and Arnold to talk about their mom. So, Miss Jenny, use this mic right here, please.
My parents had been Christians as far as I can remember. Although I think they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ when I was around 3 years old. By God's grace, I have many wonderful memories as a child. Our family is very close, and we spent many fun times together. My mom disciplined us well, and as far as I can tell, her discipline was very biblical. I remember her as being very prayerful. I can still see her kneeling beside her bed, with a Bible spread open on top of the bed while she prayed. She has a lot of testimonies of how God worked miraculously in our family. But to go through them all, I would need more than 2 hours. If you would be interested, I could give you the website. Yes, she created a website for that. It was my mom who basically forced us kids to read the Bible from cover to cover, something I did not appreciate at that time. But I am very thankful for now because it has taught me to love God's Word. A few years back, we went to the Philippines, and she said, "Wow, Jen, you have very good children. You're doing a good job." I didn't tell her, but the truth is, I was merely following her example. She is my role model. I remember a story she told about her baking. She loved to bake, and she started baking when she was young. Soon after she met the Lord, in one of their Bible studies, a guy said, "In everything you do, you need God." And she thought, "Do I need God even in my baking, when I can bake with my eyes closed?" After that, all her cakes were flops. She would forget to put an ingredient, or she would do something wrong, or forget to do something. I don't know for how long this went on, but at last she wondered, "What's going on?" And she remembered what she said in her heart, "Do I need God even in my baking?" This story has stayed with me until today because it made concrete what Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. And to all you moms, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. I grew up with parents who believe in God. It was my mother who pushed me to know more about God and encouraged me to join the church in my early years. She told me then that I would be better if I be involved and serve in church rather than spend my time in some useless activity. So at an early age, I was serving as an altar boy at our church. I remember she would often go to church and attend charismatic gatherings, leaving me at home, where sometimes I had to look after my brothers and sisters, being the eldest. My mother is a full-time housewife with 5 children, and she sacrificed a lot for us so we could be a happy family. I was privileged to have experienced the love and affection that a child needs. My parents, especially my mother, was very supportive whenever I needed something. She would often give anything I needed, even if it meant having no enough food for us for the next day. Sometimes going out of her way to help my father to meet the family needs. I remember on one occasion, Jen and I were already married, when my mother visited to chat about what's going on in our life and share some stories about our relatives and friends. You know, my mother, she loves to give advices, instructions. Mother still show so much concern about you even if you are already married. That time, I really didn't have money to offer because I usually gave her a small amount of money after her visits. She didn't know then I had no money. Well, mothers knows best. When she was about to leave, she secretly gave me money to my surprise. I usually gave her money and not the other way around. I will never forget that moment. Truly a mother will always be a mother to you. She knows you, your feelings. Even if you don't see her often, she loves to serve and take care of you even in their old age. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7 says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." And in Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old. He will not depart from it." I don't know if my parents know these verses, but their advice and instructions helped me a lot to be who I am right now. They might not have been able to give me many conveniences in life. I cried and envied many people during my childhood for what they had. But when I think about my parents' sacrifices and love, it's enough to thank the Lord for having parents like them. A mother who will always be there for you no matter what. I pray that one day they will have a personal relationship with the Lord, the greatest gift that they can have in their life. To all mothers here today, thank you for training and giving your child the way the Bible says. Surely, they will not depart from it as God promises. Again, to my nanay, happy Mother's Day. And to all mothers here, happy Mother's Day.
It is indeed a privilege.
Oh, no.
It is indeed a privilege to share a testimony because God writes our life story. He is the author of my story and yours as well, and he takes pleasure in it, as stated in Philippians 2:13. When Pastor Terry asked me to share something about my mom and what I remembered about my childhood, I was a bit apprehensive. I doubted if I could do it or not, because I didn't want to remember the part which I considered a nightmare. But it is not about me here. It is about the name of Jesus to be lifted up in my life. I have experienced being mentally abused and molested as a child. Although the molestations were all unsuccessful attempts, they had given me so many reasons to hate living my life. but chose not to. Instead, I gave God the glory that I was able to stand and see the beauty of life. It amazes me how much God has given me so much strength to walk in forgiveness and in love rather than to resent. I wouldn't be here now standing in front of you sharing my testimony without the power of God working in my mom's life. It was through her I see the miracle of God changing the way I live my life. My mom's life story wasn't easy either. I had witnessed how difficult her situation was and how deeply wounded she was as a mother of five children and wife of an overseas Filipino worker. But God is at work behind the scenes. That little and doubting faith my mom had when she decided to follow Christ had a great impact in me and in my walk with Christ until now. She was the one who dragged me and my other four siblings to believe, accept, and follow Christ despite the troubles and heartaches that life had brought her. Although she didn't understand everything in the Bible, because of her limited knowledge and understanding, she didn't give up on encouraging her children to believe in Jesus. Her faith didn't flourish overnight, but it increased day by day. I never forget when she woke us up early in the morning so we could make it to church on time, made lunch boxes just for us to stay at church for Bible study. She encouraged us to be part of missions and support local missionaries. These were a few of her teachings that helped me and my siblings grow in the Lord. Fixing our eyes on Jesus and seeking His kingdom were the words I'd always heard from her since I was a child. Learn to forgive and love were words I did not hear from her, but I saw her do them in action. She is not a perfect mom, but the love of Christ evident in her life has made perfect to her to extend that same love to us, her children. I can't have my mom forever, but her faith and love for Christ, I can and will keep them for all the days of my life and for eternity. I feel very grateful and special that God chose her to be my mom. I am very proud of her. I am not very expressive in saying how much I love her, but God is my witness, and He knows how much, and He knows that I do love her very much. Happy Mother's Day to all moms. You are loved in silence, in words, and in deeds. Thank you.
I stood in the balcony of my apartment a few days ago, enjoying the view. It was a mesmerizing sight. The pink-dressed sakura trees had already turned green, a sign that summer had already won the battle of the seasons. I took one glance at my surroundings and looked up at the shining sun. Beautiful, I said to myself. The relaxing quietness of the surroundings took me back to the past, the time when I was naughty, carefree, and super ginky. Every time I reminisce about my childhood memories, I laugh to myself. Sometimes I get teary-eyed as I relive the past and see how God has worked, not only in me, but also in the lives of my many siblings and hard-working parents. You heard me right. I said many siblings. I come from a very large family, a family of 12 children. I'm sure you can imagine the chaos in the house when all 12 children were together, especially during mealtime. But I'm not going to talk about the fights I had with my brothers and my sisters and the crazy things we did together. I'm going to talk about my super mom, the shimmering lamp of the household, or we say it in Filipino, ang ilaw ng tahanan. When I was young, there was one question I hated to answer. The question was, how many siblings do you have? I hated that question. Because that question actually generated a lot of questions, follow-up questions, insulting comments, and unsolicited opinions about the drawbacks of having a large family. And sometimes it ended up with insulting comments about how irresponsible my parents were. Many commented that it was impossible for my mother to give sufficient attention to 12 beautiful children. And it was impossible for her to give equal love and care to children with different interests and personalities. That it was impossible for my parents to provide for our needs considering the meager income of my father. Well, some of the comments were partly true, but my mother provided us with something that not many mothers can provide. Every single night without a miss, my mother, when all of us were asleep, she would lay
her right hand over us and silently prayed. I didn't know what her prayers were, but I'm certain that if not all of them were answered, I'm sure that all of them were answered. Her strong faith in God and confidence in the power of prayer have made her a mother worthy of respect and love. My mom is not perfect. She is flawed, but she had made an impact on my life. Her strong faith in God and confidence in prayer, I believe, had made me also a prayerful person. I'm not that prayerful as my mother, but I believe in the power of prayer. Did my mother pray that I would marry a woman who loved the Lord? I'm sure he did. She did. Because if she hadn't, God wouldn't have given me the woman I am married to. That's the power of a praying mother. I love my mom for who she is, and I love her even more because she loves Christ. I'd like to end this testimony by quoting Proverbs 6:20-21, addressing to all children. My son, keep your father's God-given commandment and forsake not the law of God your mother taught you. Bind them continually upon your heart, and tie them about your neck. God bless us all.
May you be encouraged today. May your heart be filled with memories of your story. Everyone could stand and give a testimony about the one who gave you life. One of these days in heaven, maybe Moses will tell us about his young days. And the Bible tells us that it was Pharaoh's daughter who found Moses. Can you imagine such a thing? In my heart, if Moses' mom had known that, I don't think she would have ever pushed that basket away. Perhaps the only person outside of Pharaoh that she would hope would not find her baby boy would be someone in Pharaoh's family. But God had a plan. And God is at work even when we are unaware of it. So Moses was nursed by his mother. Can you imagine such a thing? There was nothing more in the world that Moses' mom wanted to do than to nurse him. And that's exactly what God provided. And not only that, she was paid to nurse her son. Isn't that an amazing story? So, Mom, I know that no one could pay you enough to do what God has given you to do in the lives of your children. And many of you are working for nothing, it may seem. But God never forgets an act of kindness. God never forgets anything that you have done in His name. And so if you have children that are out in the world today, maybe you need a word of encouragement. Perhaps this is it. It was at age 80 that Moses became the deliverer of the children of Israel who were in bondage in Egypt. Age 80. Have you ever wondered what's going to happen to my child? Why doesn't my child do this? Why doesn't my child do this? Your child is in the eyes of God and has never left the eyes of God. Even though your child may have backed away from God, God has not backed away from your child. So I pray that if the years seem long, and if you're wondering what's going to happen to your child, it took 80 years to see the purpose of Moses' life for him to become the deliverer of the people of Israel. So when God has great work for people to do, He gives them a great mom, someone to set the foundation, to put the tools in mind, even though it seems that they're not being used at the moment. When they're older, those teachings will come back to play a major role in who they are. So, Mom, take heart today and be encouraged. You see, if every child had a godly mom, the pachinko parlors would be out of business. Did you know that there would probably hardly be any alcohol abuse? There would be no such thing as same-sex marriage. And every child would grow up understanding the meaning of worship and how to worship God. My sister was born when I was a senior in college. We're the only two. And I had the privilege of naming my sister Christy. And when our mother passed away, Christy was 12 years of age. And Sonia and I became her parents. You never know what God has in mind. You never know what plans He has for you. But it was God's plan for Moses. And it was God's plan for us. And it is God's plan for you. So I tell you, Mom, that you're in the center of the eyes of God. God is watching over you. And God is leading you to a place that He would have you go. And I pray that you are sensitive to that still small voice. And I pray that when life is tough, trying to raise husbands, and that may be the most difficult job that you have, Mom. Keep the faith. Understand that God is at work even when you may not see it. So, Mom, I ask you today if you are willing to continue to covenant with God, to raise up your child in the way that they must go, 1 hour at a time. And some of my mother's longest hours on earth must have been trying to keep up with me. That's how it is when we are younger. Have you ever wondered why we have children when we're young? We can never find them when we're old. It is part of God's plan for the family, for us to enjoy the things, because He has made us a part of His family. So today I say to all you moms, just a word of caution. Do not worship your child. Worship the one who gave you your child. And then your child will be in the world, but not of the world. And your child understands that God has a plan, and that includes discipline, that includes encouragement, it includes Bible study, and as you have heard them say, countless prayers. So perhaps today, you may need to remove your child from the pedestal upon which you have placed them. Do it now. Do it today. And give God His rightful place in your life. We love you, moms. You make a difference. And just by way of a personal testimony, if it had not been for the moms in the church in which I grew up, I would never have learned the Bible. There were very few men that would stand up and give a testimony, but it was people like you that made a difference every Sunday. And so I thank you, the teachers of children here today, for the lesson plans that you've studied and written, for the prayers that you've prayed over your kiddos. Don't give up. Don't give in. But understand that that truth is being planted in fertile hearts and minds. And one day, You may never ever hear it, but they'll say, I remember Miss Christie. And she used to say, it will never be forgotten. Moms, be exalted today as God intends, but understand that there is only one God, and His rightful place is the one who is worthy of worship. Would you be willing to recommit your life this morning? You've heard them say that moms are not perfect, and you're not expected to be perfect. But mom, you are expected to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding of your role as mother. Would you be willing to make that commitment once again to Almighty God and trust Him for your children as Moses' mom trusted God for her son? Would you stand?